The Gary Knoll Show, daily at noon on the Progressive Radio Network.
Live from New York City, it's The Gary Knoll Show. And now, your host, Gary Knoll.
Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Knoll, and I'd like to welcome you to this program. I like to think of this as an empowerment hour, because I can promise you, by the time we're finished, there'll be insights, challenges, perspectives that you're not going to hear in the official media of the left to the right. That's why we call ourselves progressive. Good news, on Sunday, I was sitting at my desk writing commentaries for our progressive commentary hour, and people are saying, I just looked at Google and progressive radio pulled up 197 million hits. The day before is 154 million hits, and normally it's around 95 million. Put it in perspective, if you go as a person wanting to know about conservative perspectives on radio and all the people and stations and places to get that information, as a clearinghouse, the search engine conservative is going to give you Rush Limbaugh, Laura Ingram, and Sean Hannity, Glenn Beck, Laura Schlesinger, Mark Levin and others, Michael Savage. If you want a liberal perspective, and that's your search engine term, you'll get all the different liberal Tom Hartman and all the different liberals who do their work and do it well. And historically, that's been the only two places you would go. Unless you went to the BBC radio, that gives you a different one. NPR's, I call it Wonder Bread for the mind. They cut the head and everything below the waist off, and that's what you get. But historically, we did not have the options. Now, what about those of us who come from a conservative background or a liberal background, but didn't feel that we fit into the medium that was available? That somehow, yes, there were benefits to it, and you've had some things in common, but there's an awful lot you didn't. Well, that's 7 years ago. That's when I founded Progressive Radio. And without any publicity, any advertising, now as a search engine for people looking for a progressive voice or voices, of which there are many, a different way of looking at an issue and not limited to the traditional left, right, Democrat, Republican, we now have that. And what was surprising is it's gone viral. And now, all over the world, people are looking for solutions from a progressive perspective, more so than just a liberal or conservative. They're looking for those people who are out there, the Chris Hedges in journalism. He simply is without peer. The Ralph Naders, the Rabbi Michael Lerners. There are probably right now about 3,000 to 4,000 in the United States alone who have spent their entire lives doing work that you would either agree or disagree with them on their alliances, but you couldn't challenge them well on their arguments because they could nail you on their arguments. But they never had power. Mainstream never brought them in. You'll never see Chris Hedges sitting down for a one-on-one conversation with Meet the Press. And yet he's a Pulitzer Prize-winning author from the New York Times, until he challenged the New York Times. Then he is out. Once you're out of the official boundaries, whether it's in any institution, in finance, if you're Gerald Celente or Michael Hudson, Professor Michael Hudson, who, by the way, is the one who was behind the... I shouldn't tell you this, but I'm going to... He was the actual brains behind the Iceland moving away and not paying the debt to the International Monetary bankers. And he's the one who said, keep your sovereignty, meaning keep the money for your citizens. Don't worry, you will survive. He also would encourage Greece to do the same thing. Get out of the euro. Get away from the eurozone. Don't give any money back to the people who caused the problem, the bankers. Don't cut your programs, your food, your education, your travel. Don't cut your citizens' benefits to give greedy bankers. all across the world, he's behind the scenes talking with heads of government, prime ministers, presidents. He's a quiet person, self-effacing, brilliant mind. He's progressive. The moment you step out, though, you're out. When the Nobel Prize winner, Linus Pauling, by the way, the only American to ever win two unshared Nobel Prizes. No other American's ever done that, including in chemistry. And he was a friend. He used to come up when I was a research fellow, a scientist, the Institute of Applied Biology, and we would talk and through the night. And he said, I'm using 20,000 milligrams of vitamin C a day. And if I started to use it younger in life, earlier, I would live a longer life. He lived to be 95. He believes he'd have been living at 115, but he only got started late with the nutrition awareness. But the moment he talked about vitamin C, preventing colds and flu and helping with cancer, and then proving it with research, he was no longer accepted in official science. I just interviewed a man who believes that he's come up with a reason for autism beyond what we currently know. And yes, it is associated with the vaccines, but not the mercury in the vaccines, nor the aluminum, but a particular mycoplasm, Mycoplasma incognitus. Now, he's the world's authority on this, and he was chairman of the department at MD Anderson and Baylor, and editor and senior editor on 22 major scientific magazines, published 500 articles in peer-reviewed literature. You don't get more esteemed and at the top of your field in science than Garth Nicholson. Well, Professor Nicholson now believes that Gulf War syndrome is substantially due to the vaccines they got that ended up having mycoplasma in it and an adjuvant, squalene. Now he says that in autism, you're dealing with mitochondrial disorders and also neurological disorders due to not the mercury that does cause neurological, but because of the mycoplasm. They say they do the same neurological damage on GIs. So now we have some hard answers to hundreds of thousands of GIs who came back and couldn't function, were chronically sick, had neurological damage. They were losing their memory, and they're 22 and 23 years old. You do not have dementia at 22. It is not physically possible. But it happened. Now we have that piece of the puzzle due to this great man. So what happens to Garth Nicholson? No longer in official medicine. What happens with the great anti-aging scientist? No longer in official medicine. I lecture as one of those scientists in anti-aging medicine before 7,000 scientists. And I ask, how many of you here from Harvard and Yale, how many of you here today are being invited by the Surgeon General or the U.S. Public Health Service to go to Washington, the National Cancer Institute, and say, we know what causes us to age and cause diseases of aging, arthritis, cancer, heart disease, dementia, Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, ALS. We know the answer. How many of you have been invited into those policy-making halls? Not a hand. Afterwards, about 500 men and women came over to me and we talked, and they said, if we told the world of official science what we know, we would be tarred and feathered like Linus Pauling. And now I predict this. I'm going on the record. It hasn't happened yet. It will absolutely positively happen. Last year's winner of the Nobel Prize in medicine was Luc Montagnier for the discovery of the HIV virus. He, however, has said that you can prevent the HIV virus from infecting you if you take your antioxidants, have a lot of good water and clean food. He said if you have an HIV infection and if you have your antioxidants and you drink a lot of clean water and you have good food and are well nourished, you can eliminate it from the body. That's enough to get him thrown completely, not just under the truck. They will make him a part of the surface. Now here we go again. A Nobel Prize winner. The entire $800 billion, that's with a B, more than heart disease and cancer combined. The $800 billion AIDS field rests upon this single man's discovery at the Pasteur Institute, Institute of Pasteur, and all of his work. But he now believes in what we talk about every day, oxidative stress. Reduce oxidative stress, you reduce infections that come from when your immune system is weak. Take the right antioxidants. So he's into homeopathy, the laws of similars. He's into antioxidants. He's into vitamins. He's into clean diet, raw food, living foods. But most importantly, he is telling the entire field that makes its $800 billion, whether it's charities or some of the gay foundations that have lived purely in the pocket of the pharmaceutical industry. Go, and by the way, doubt me, I took my camera crew to Switzerland, to the National World Conference on AIDS. Here's a whole football-size field indoors of every booth on AIDS, all pharmaceuticals. And the organizations there to support them and get the word into the community, put time on your side, take drugs, no matter how deadly the drugs, no matter that the number one cause of death in persons with AIDS is liver failure. Hello? Liver failure is not one of the 30 AIDS-defining illnesses. It's due to the drugs. So the drugs are the number one reason people are dying of AIDS. So Luc Montagnier, the discoverer of the HIV virus, the man who won the Nobel Prize, hold on, did I miss something? Did I miss something, Harvey Wasserman, who's sitting here in the studio with me, who's an award-winning journalist and a democracy activist and a senior advisor for Greenpeace and Nuclear Information Resource Service? Did I miss the fact that there's never been a case where two discoverers of something didn't share the Nobel Prize? But they didn't give the Nobel Prize to Robert Gallo, did they?
No, and you know, you mentioned the death rate from the cure being worse than disease. It's the same thing is true in cancer. You have chemotherapy being given to people, which is basically hazmat. You know, your immune system has failed, and the cancer cells that we all carry are running out of control. So what do? They take hazardous material. They take stuff that if you drop it on the floor, you have to evacuate a building, and they pour it into our body. And we know that 30% of the people who take chemo for cancer die from the chemo, not the cancer. And you know, we have a $200 billion a year chemo industry in this world. It's a nightmare, and it's all because, of course, as your new film shows, much of it comes from the nuclear power plants that we're refusing to shut.
That's right. We're going to deal with that. And by the way, tonight, the second movie, I'm doing two premieres tonight. The first is Knocking on the Devil's Door at 5 o'clock. I'm asking people to start to get there at 4:30 so that there's no line waiting. You're not waiting. I want everyone seated so the theater goes. But the second showing after our panel is Death by Medicine. And I'm going to show you the real reason that with all the money spent, more than anyone else in the world, we spend on medicine, we have failed completely, and I only interviewed people who are at the heart of official medicine. Let's see what happens to their reputations when all these people come forward from Harvard, Professor Emeritus's, UCLA. I went all over. I was 7 years filming this. And, in fact, I had so many angry doctors at an international conference that when I asked, and I was the keynote, and I said it, and I presented a scientific paper based on a clinical study I just finished, and I said, this is 3 years ago, and I said, I would be very happy to talk with any of you on camera about your concerns about why you're not healing more people and why medicine is the number one cause of death in America and injury, number one cause is medicine. And when I walked outside, I met hopefully one or two people, and I had my camera guy there, and I had rented a room in the same hotel. And I went over to the room. And it was just me and a local camera guy that I use when I'm in Chicago. And he says, Gary, we got a problem. I said, what's the problem? He says, come here. So I walked out of the room. You could not see the floor. There were 600 physicians standing out there
with torches
wanting to get their point on the record. Now, these are orthodox doctors, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
One of them, an MD, PhD, a woman from San Francisco, said that she was retiring from medicine at the age of 37.
Oh, my God.
Because her malpractice insurance was so high and because she was spending too much time treating patients, and she got a penny, and she showed me the check, a penny refund. And I said, why a penny? She said, because there's no denomination less than that they could pay you. And she said, yeah, I spent an hour and a half with a patient helping them change their diet. She said it wasn't covered under their schedule. And if it's not under their schedule, mm-hmm. coding, and she and one doctor, professor from, and a physician from Harvard, had a heart attack after he took Vioxx. He said, I want to talk about the idea that I'm teaching other doctors to use Vioxx as a COX-2 inhibitor. And I thought after the scandal broke, how many people in America died or were injured, 60,000 death, 150,000 injured with heart attack and stroke, because of my telling students, my medical students, go out there and give this drug. And I feel such guilt and such shame, but nobody was held accountable. Nobody lost their reputation. Nobody lost their job. And he said, how is this possible that no one in the media is covering this? And I said, I'm covering it, and I'm in the media. He said, that's why I came out of the hall. That's why I'm here.
Mm-hmm. Well, it is a huge...
Where do you see this film tonight, Death by Medicine?
Yeah.
It'll shock you. And I also... I followed a couple getting off a medication for 1 year. You see the woman before she takes the medication and her father at a dinner. You then see them a month later when they're on the meds.
Yeah.
You see the father in a coffin, and you see the woman after she gets off the meds, and the entire film is the next 12 months of her off the med, but them wanting to put her in a psych ward.
Oh, my God.
You will see stuff that will sicken you. Now, mind you, this is one woman on one single medication, and the doctor saying that this was good for her and would help her, and what it actually does. Now, multiply that times 60 million people each year in the United States who are suffering from some condition that requires a medical approach according to orthodox medicine, official medicine, and what happens. Anyhow.
Well, I think there's two great points about this. First of all, we now have a national environmental crisis because people who are taking these drugs are urinating them out, and they're going into the rivers and streams and causing a tremendous series of environmental problems just from the waste. You know, once the meds do their damage in the body, they go out and do it out in the environment as well.
We're just finding this out, but this was originally discovered 4 years ago in Denmark. Then the Germans found it. It was in their rivers. And here's the problem. Officially, they will say, yes, we have chemotherapy. We have AZT, anti-AIDS drugs. We have all the different alpha blockers. This is true. We have hundreds of different medicines in your drinking water. It's also true we can't filter them out.
Right.
So that means that every time you take a glass of water, every time you cook some vegetables, every time you take a shower, but not to worry, they're nanoparticles. And I'm saying, hold on, nanoparticles work. That's why you're using them, but you've never tested them. But when you did test them, they caused brain damage in the rodents you tested them on. And that's what's in your cosmetics. That's what's in your perfumes. That's what's in your medicines. You're directing drugs through nanotechnology, something that is so small. I have a report I'm doing on this, an article. So the logic is, if we, the official media, do not find this a crisis, and we don't find it a crisis because we, the official media, we go to the official agencies, and the official agency said this is not a problem. So we cannot say that it is a problem because the official answer is it's not a problem. Our scientists that we will bring in will say it's not an official problem. The lawmakers on Capitol Hill are official politicians. Therefore, our official policymakers will say we did not deem after hearings that this was an official problem. So, listen carefully. This is the issue. As long as we, in our society, continue to trust without question official institutions to give us their official answers, then all we have are the outcomes that we cannot control. We can only change our perception of them. So we no longer reward people for finding cures for heart disease or cancer or AIDS or arthritis or depression. We reward them for their official effort without questioning them.
Right.
So if you're a doctor and you kill every patient, injure every patient, as long as you do it officially,
right,
you will never be hurt. You'll never be criticized. So not a single doctor was criticized for killing 60,000 of their patients.
Right.
That, and if you're officially head of the Federal Reserve, Alan Greenspan, which should be in prison for life now, in Papua New Guinea, But he won't. But he won't be, right?
Right. Who's that island that Steve McQueen was on?
Yes, that's it. Papillon.
Yes.
All right. And that's why I said, because he's a similar, you know, he is a similar huckster, or his, you know, his a likeness in the current head of the Federal Reserve. If they tell us that by keeping the too big to fail banks flush with cash, but we only find that out from Bernie Sanders, who is neither Democrat or Republican, independent. Right. He finds out by freedom of information that $16.1 trillion is given in secret in 22,000 transactions with no knowledge of the collateral they gave and no terms.
Collateral?
Yeah, but they got
that?
It at zero.
What's collateral when it comes to a big bank?
But if you, as a small business person, needed a break, you wouldn't get it. If you wanted to save your home for foreclosure, you wouldn't get it. If you were a student who's now graduating with a BA with $35,000 to $50,000 in student loans, a master's degree from $50,000 to $100,000, a PhD anywhere from $100,000 to $200,000, plus compounding interest the moment you graduate.
And it's not dischargeable.
Not, because they're lobbying. You wouldn't be given a break.
Right.
So, but officially, remember, officially, Keith Olbermann is an official Democrat and liberal, as is as all the other people who line up against it. So now you'll start seeing them supporting the official liberal, official Democratic line. But if you should challenge them, you're no longer a good Democrat. You're no longer a good liberal.
That's right.
You're one of Bill O'Reilly's pinhead extreme left.
Right. Either that, or if you attack Obama, you're an advocate of Rick Perry.
Yes.
That's.
But on the right, if you challenge the insanity of cutting out important entitlement programs that we need, but taking away entitlement programs to big corporations that cost us over $1 trillion a year, including the military-industrial complex, then suddenly you're an extreme rightist.
Right.
You ought to be over there with Alex Jones or someone.
Or Ron Paul, who pointed out the real origins of all the wars we're in.
Well, mind you, remember, Ron Paul, I have a lot of things I disagree with him on,
right,
and have challenged him.
Yeah.
But if Ron Paul were given an opportunity to be a finalist and said, as he has, I accept money from no one, I will deconstruct I will get rid of the Federal Reserve, I will give no more loans to these major corporations or banks. If they fail, they will fail, and they will be deconstructed. I will get us out of every war. Right. I will stop our military bases and close them down.
And he'll protect our supplements.
And he will protect our freedom of choice.
Right.
He will take the teeth out of the FDA's attack constantly against our rights. That alone, on those 5 points, is enough for me to say yes to him. I can say no on 20 points, but those are not essential to life. These are essential to the life of the planet. And so, and by the way, even as we speak, the head of Ron Paul's, one of his major blogs, watched Knocking on the Devil's Door, wrote a very positive review, but was very critical Ron Paul, and said, I'm going to give this information to Ron Paul with the hopes that he will watch this and understand to change his position on this, and hopefully he will. So now what do we have? So historically...
Well, Ron Paul opposes the key to the whole nuclear power industry, which is the loan guarantees.
That's correct.
And, you know, you can be for nuclear power, you can be against nuclear power. It doesn't matter. The real question is, do you support federal support of nuclear power? And Ron Paul opposes that, and that's the key.
Now I believe in the next several months, after he watches the film and sees the documents and articles that you and others have written that we have on the site, I believe he'll make a shift in consciousness. But be that as may, the larger point I'm making is the reason we had 197 million individuals go to Google to search on a search engine, progressive and radio, was because they want a different opinion, a different insight, a different energy, a different coalescing of thought than the standard Democrat, Republican, conservative, liberal. Those have their base, but I feel that it'll take another 4 years before even those people see that they have been betrayed. Now, that said, just imagine that now those people like the Linus Paulings, Luc Montagnier's, the great scientists like Garth Nicholson and many others, and the educators, the teachers, who know what real education is but are not allowed to teach real curriculum that you and I had growing up in a way that is meaningful, that they haven't been allowed to do this, to get sent to a rubber room. the people in the unions who know what a real union should be, and not the corrupt right. people who spend the weekend at the White House and corrupt their whole and agreed to GATT, NAFTA, and CAFTA. They've had no place to go. They've had no home. They've had no allegiance. They've had no one else. They're out there alone and fighting the enormous corporatocracy of both the left and the right. Now they do. Now there is a place for independent thinking, acting people, and that's a progressive mindset. We have nothing to do today in this system. I don't believe in supporting a corrupt system. I believe in building it from scratch. I don't believe in the reform of a system that cannot be reformed. I believe in get the people in there who will make a change. But they have missed us completely. They have thought us irrelevant, quaint, stupid.
Well, that's the old Gandhi quote, right? First they laugh at you, then they come at you, and finally you win.
Wait 4 years from now. We won't be 197 million seeking insight, information, motivation. We'll be billions.
Yeah, absolutely. And well, then, people understand. I mean, the crisis, especially now, you know, the Obama, I don't know what to call it, the great Obama sellout, the bait and switch, whatever you want to say. I mean, the grassroots movement that put Obama in the White House was truly impressive. It was a huge national uprising. And, you know, he immediately sold it all down the river. And people don't take kindly to that. And I think a lot of the, I think the people showed that they really do want change. They really do want hope. Is this guy? This guy sold us a bill of goods, and now it's time to move on. And this is where all this energy is going to go.
Because they can't stop us from communicating.
Right.
We're just not able.
Well, they'll
to
try.
Well, we're excluded from their official forms of communication.
Well, that's the beauty of talk radio and the internet. The combination of talk radio and the internet is really what I think will ultimately save our species. Because this is the way that we get around the blood
That's
clot
right.
of the official media. And they haven't figured out a way yet to shut down the internet. I'm sure there are people desperate to do it, but they haven't been able to do it.
They will in time, but not right now.
Well, then there'll be something beyond the internet. And
that time, we will be in a position to vote them out, to vote other good people in, to stop buying their products, stop putting money in their banks, stop supporting them. Remember, they only exist because they hold on to power, and power is a pure illusion. Power does not exist until you get people to believe that you should be given the power of your choice
right.
to them.
Well, it's the Wizard of Oz syndrome, right?
Yes.
I mean, you know, and you just got to pull the curtain.
That day is coming, but it will not be the left and it will not be the right that will be creating the solutions. Because right now, the official left is lining up behind Obama, the official right against these clowns
insane.
That are running.
But you know,
they'll
have
their way, but it'll stop.
You're at the vanguard of it. There is a core of people who understand what's going on here, and we do have the tool of shows like yours, and actually I have one too, the Soartopia Green Power Hour, and people can find us on the internet, and when the right answer is there and presented, it does click with people who have the mindset, and we know how to make change. Ultimately.
Well, the good news is, Harvey, it's starting tonight.
Right.
All right. This is not about politics. And what's nice is when you bring together such a coalition of people who have different backgrounds, different beliefs, different ideologies, different races, ethnicities, but they're all working for one common good: save the planet and save the people on it.
Right, and ultimately, I think the key is that the survival mechanism. We are the white blood cells, you know, the avant-garde here, the progressive vanguard, and we are the white blood cells. And ultimately, the survival instinct will trump the capital motive, the profit motive. We, you know, if it is a question of the human race dying, which we could do on this planet. I mean, the planet will survive. Everybody says, oh, we're killing Mother Earth. We're not killing Mother Earth. We're killing our ability to survive on this planet. And when push comes to shove, as it has, our survival instinct as a species will trump the profit motive. And we will find a way to beat the corporations. And we will find a way to beat these lower instincts and get on with our lives on this planet. And this is, of course, the big piece of it.
This is one piece. Right after this, we start a whole movement towards the FDA.
Oh, God, yeah.
I was just filming a lot of people, Ralph Nader and others, last week on this.
Found dead on arrival is what it really should be called there.
Well, we'll help that process along with the... a lot of us are working together, all right? We're working to stop the FDA and from tyrannization of a person's ability to make a choice. That will be another issue. Right now, the issue is that we're all coming together tonight to watch, and people can watch it over the internet if they go to either knockingonthedevilsdoor.com or GaryNall.com or ProgressiveRadioNetwork.com. They can watch it, the whole thing. They can watch all both movies. They can watch our big meeting and new information. And I'm not going to go into some of that information, which I found out, but a couple of things I can go into. Just today, this typhoon hit Japan, and you realize this is a Category 4.
Wow.
And you know that it's going right towards the damaged Japanese nuclear reactor.
I got to point out,
a million people were ordered to evacuate.
You know, Unit 4 at Fukushima, I mean, we covered, I covered Fukushima from start to finish. I edited a website called nukefree.org, N-U-K-E-F-R-E-E.org, and it's sponsored by Bonnie Raitt, Jackson Brown, and Graham Nash. And we are the only website, with a couple of others, but maybe three or four, and I'm sure you covered it too, that covered Fukushima start to finish. I mean, the major media covered it for a while, and then when we invaded Libya, as you recall, suddenly Fukushima ended.
Yes.
You know, it's like, that's done. The reactors have stopped melting. We still have three simultaneous meltdowns there, but number four, which did not melt, is sinking. And there's a spent fuel pool 100 feet in the air at Unit 4. And people have looked at this, say, another aftershock or a major storm, and Unit 4 could tip over. And, you know, a typhoon could knock it over. And so this is serious
stuff.
Well,
this is today.
Right.
And we're going to talk tonight on the stage about what's going to happen. I believe that in the relatively near future, the next 12 to 24 months, Japan will have no choice but to finally, officially, be honest and start to evacuate the 34 million people around Tokyo.
Oh, it's a nightmare. It's horrifying.
I believe that the only reason they haven't done it, A, their currency would collapse, B, their economy would collapse, because people had this idea that when a nuclear facility goes down, as it did there, and that it'll be contained, or it'll only be in the immediate area. And every time the wind blows, wherever the wind blows, and the wind blows in every direction, that you're going to have that radioactive material come. Now, when the rain comes, now we have torrential rain in this typhoon, all that radioactivity is going to go right into the soil and the subsoil,
right,
and in the aquifer system. And we're not talking about just an iodine that will be gone and, you know, substantially. We're talking about plutonium.
Yes,
one of the most lethal substances in the world that will still be around in 2,000 years from now. So where exactly on the island of Japan could a person safely live, grow food, drink water, and not be contaminated? Harvey, tell me, where is that safe place on the island of Japan?
Papua New Guinea probably is
yes,
where it
they,
is. I mean, you know, it's you know, the only time I ever broke down on a radio show was when I was talking about the early days of Fukushima, because that stuff came here within 4 days. And I got to tell you that it's in the film, by the way, Knock on Devil's Door.
Yes.
I say this. Barack Obama is guilty of murder, because in the first 4 or 5 days he got on TV and he said, well, don't worry about no radiation is going to come here from Fukushima. There's been no federal monitoring program. You could very easily have had a national, an internet-based real-time map showing where radiation was coming from Fukushima and telling people what they could do. The federal government not only did none of this, but discontinued monitoring fish in the Pacific. The radiation releases from Fukushima are global. There will be millions and millions of people who are impacted by it, and already have been. And, you know, much of the radiation from Chernobyl went into the air. Much of the radiation from Fukushima has gone into the ocean. And, of course, it will never stop. We already found two whales of 600 kilometers from Fukushima that were heavily contaminated by particles. 600 kilometers, and this is only a few weeks out. You know, this is poisoning our oceans. This typhoon is going to step it up another level. I mean, I eat fish. I eat, you know, wild-caught salmon from the North Pacific. I don't know if I can do that anymore.
You
and
can't
the FDA,
do that.
The FDA is not. Nobody is monitoring the radiation in these fish now.
It's not that they didn't want to monitor. The EPA, Environmental Protection Agency, which was founded by Ralph Nader, wanted to monitor, and they were told to step down.
That's right. Absolutely.
Why? What would be the motive? What would be the motive of telling your federal agency, do not measure radiation in food or air or water. Why?
Well, two industries, the fishing industry and the nuclear power industry. Nuclear power industry does not want people to know, as we see time and again in the film, that the radiation from nuclear power is killing us all. You know, I went to Three Mile Island the year after the accident. The industry loves to say no one was killed at Three Mile Island. I interviewed dozens of people who are dying and had relatives who died from Three Mile Island and still dying because of the radiation was released there. We have a study that shows that at least 985,000 people were killed by Chernobyl. And we still have so-called officials running around saying that 31 people died.
Glenn Beck. Yes. Now, he's an official, isn't it?
Well, he's, you know, in his padded cell there.
Yeah.
And then, excuse me, now you have people saying, well, no one's dying from Fukushima. You have this guy, George Monbiot, running around saying Fukushima was essentially harmless. Fukushima's not over. We have three melting cores still at Fukushima. We have Unit 4, as I mentioned, sinking into the ground with a spent fuel pool 100 feet in the air. I mean, come on, who can make this up?
Harvey, tonight we're going to reveal some new information that we've been working on quietly about those melted fuel rods and going through the concrete, going through the steel. And once it starts, there's no substance on Earth that's going to stop it that's naturally in the soil. It goes into the aquifer system.
Right.
There are three aquifers there at different levels. One goes north and feeds all their rice-growing area.
Yeah.
So how in the world are they going to be taking radioactive water out of the ground and putting it on their rice? The rice is going to become radioactive.
Right.
And then one goes east and one goes west. 250 kilometers, you're in Tokyo. That's a short distance.
That's correct.
Right?
And you know, the catastrophic impact of Fukushima, the only word to really describe it is apocalyptic. I mean, this is the entire, as you mentioned, there's nowhere on Japan that's going to be safe to
there's
live.
There's no safe place now.
No.
But it's getting worse. And after this typhoon today, for the next 3 days, they're predicting 3 days the typhoon will take to cross Japan.
Mm-hmm.
The entire island's going to have radioactive material on it. Now, here's the game they play. They'll say to their citizens and to the world, yes, we detected some radioactivity, but, you know, we're allowing 200 parts per billion of exposure or whatever it may be. We did the same thing here with the FDA. When first we banned DDT, any level in breast milk,
mm-hmm.
then we found all the women had levels in their breast milk. So what did? We gave them a certain amount they could have above what they had. Then a year later, we found out that they had a lot more.
Right,
so we increased. So next thing you know, over 5 years, we keep increasing the amount of allowable DDT. Well, I want to tell you, DDT should not be allowed at all. It's like a safe amount of mercury.
Plutonium. Yeah, I mean,
there is no safe amount of plutonium, mercury, anything else in the body. So this is the game they'll play. But sooner or later, the people who are the true scientists there, and we have the Ralph Nader of Japan there tonight, we're going to talk about the truth, and we're going to have the people from Fukushima there tonight
yes,
as well.
Yes, Eileen Smith will be there.
Yes.
And she's quite impressive. It's going to be an amazing program.
So the whole world's going to know the truth tonight.
Well, and the truth, you know, there's a great line in the Jack Nicholson movie, you can't handle the truth.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people really can't handle this. It's beyond the human emotional capability.
But Harvey, we can all handle the official truth. It's the unofficial truth.
That's right. Well, the real truth. And the real truth is that nuclear power is utterly catastrophic. And if Fukushima doesn't end it, then you have to wonder if our species really is capable of surviving on this planet.
We are. I don't believe that. It's just like you can't say economy. And I'm going to say, okay, is that the super wealthy economy,
right.
the Bill Gates economy? Is it the very wealthy economy? Or is it the 8 million millionaire economy? Is it the 40 million upper middle class economy? Is it the professional class economy? Is it the comfortable living wage middle class economy? Is it the poor economy that has no leadership and won't march? Because none of those will you ever hear protesting, with rare exception from any group. But the big group that nobody's counting on, that's the economy is going to explode, is the poor working class. The people
right.
that have a job but they're making, you know, garbage wages. So we have to differentiate out here. We have a lot of people who know the truth about things, but it's not being allowed into official discourse anywhere. For example, right now we have close to 3,000 physicians, scientists, including multiple Nobel Prize winners, professors of virology and immunology, saying that the war on AIDS is being looked at and run wrong. We're doing it wrong. They're excluded. But I have their quotes. It's up on the website. Now, on 9/11, we now have 3,000 engineers, physicists, meteorologists, architects, and others, investigators, who are saying, I can't tell you who did what, but I can tell you who didn't do what, because right. I'm, and here's the argument. We, in any truth movement, we seek first to challenge and deconstruct the official argument. I can't tell you who blew up the buildings. I can't tell you. I can tell you what didn't happen by deconstructing the official report. So the first measure of any legitimate argument, if you're going to do it with some scholarship and integrity, deconstruct with your proof, forensic proof, what you're opposed to. So if you officially say the only way to treat cancers with chemotherapy, surgery, and radiation, I will first go in and say, I'm going to deconstruct this. Show me the people you've cured with right. terminal cancer, with your drugs, and if you don't have those statistics, and they don't.
They don't. Well, they have statistics, and they're horrifying. The yes. statistics they have will make you want to not do that stuff.
But if you're diagnosed with any cancer terminal today, chemotherapy, surgery, and radiation, you have a 0 5-year survival.
Right.
So for them to say we are the only treatment, then I'm saying you don't have any success at all. So why should you be the only one? In a free economy, shouldn't we be allowed in a democracy to implore other people to come up with ideas?
Well, that's why the FDA is trying to kill supplements.
Yeah, Nicholas Gonzalez has cured pancreatic stage 4 cancer.
Right.
He's one of many doctors we've proven can do it. So on the one hand, we deconstruct the argument that we're challenging and reconstruct an argument that takes its place, at least allowing people a chance to know it. Same thing with 9/11. We can show enough out-and-out misinformation in the official report to say that you cannot use the official report as the only truth about this. So piece by piece, we deconstruct. The same thing with AIDS, same thing with anything we're dealing with.
Well, the same with nuclear power here. All these years they've been telling us. You know, I started fighting nuclear power in 1973. I actually coined the phrase no nukes because we were so early.
You were responsible for closing one of the only times in American history of closing a nuclear power plant.
Well, we closed a few. We did close Yankee Row. We've shut a few down, and the big fight now is in Vermont,
yes.
Yankee, and we have the state of Vermont now fighting the Entergy Corporation. And we're going to see which is more powerful, a private corporation or a sovereign state of the Union of the United States.
I would broaden the argument, because you know who gave more campaign contributions to Barack Obama than any other energy utility.
Well, it's probably Entergy or Exxon.
Entergy.
Was it Entergy?
Entergy.
Yeah.
And you also know who used to promote and make millions of dollars.
Hillary Clinton, too, by the way.
Yes, Hillary Clinton and Bill Clinton.
Right.
And that's why they did not offer a legitimate challenge to Indian Point. You also know who made millions of dollars promoting energy. Entergy.
Rudy Giuliani probably did.
Who was chief of staff for Obama?
Ron Emanuel.
Ron Emanuel.
Yeah, and the other guy, Axelrod.
Axelrod.
Right.
So now you have all of the people around the President of the United
right.
States.
They're all
connected to the largest nuclear facility, and they get the money. If they got
right.
the money, they are owned.
Right. So Entergy, which owns Indian Point and Vermont Yankee, is now arguing in court. They signed a deal with the state of Vermont, Entergy did, saying, you know, we're going to take over Vermont Yankee if you decide that we can't run it after March 21st, 2012, we'll shut it down. This is a deal that they signed, very clear, and now they're going back and they're saying, well, we don't want to have that deal anymore, and the Supreme Court, U.S. Supreme Court, is going to decide, is any contract valid between a corporation and a state of the union if the corporation decides they want to change the terms? And I'm not optimistic about the Supreme Court, but that's the fight there. But if we can shut Vermont Yankee, there's 104 reactors in the United States right now. We think we can shut them all. I have a book called Solartopia, which shows how we can get all the power from green power, and certainly the the solar technology has exploded in this world.
And wind.
And wind, solar, tidal, geothermal, ocean thermal, sustainable biofuels, all that good stuff. It's all there. It's been
and
there.
And it's not 30 years away. That's,
oh, no. It's 30 seconds away.
That's the lie we've been told.
If we could magically shut all the fossil and nuclear power plants in the United States and install renewable, state-of-the-art, but current, we don't have to have magical inventions, currently available renewable technologies, the lights wouldn't blink. We have the technology to totally power this planet with renewables right now.
You're listening to Harvey Wasserman. He is an award-winning journalist, a democracy advocate. He is one of the leading voices in the anti-war, anti-nuclear energy movements for over 30 years. He's a senior advisor for Greenpeace USA, and he holds a completely different position than the original founder of Greenpeace, who's now on a big ad. The ad started this week. I knew they would. Interesting, they coincided their ads all across the United States with the movie, Knocking on the Devil's Door. There's Barack Obama and the founder of Greenpeace both saying that nuclear is the only energy we should have, the, you know, right. It's the future. So we're,
these guys are desperate.
Yeah, right, here's the ad. Let me read it.
Patrick Moore was one of the founders.
Okay, I have the ad in my hand. And for those of you who are watching this, here it is. There's Barack Obama, who's got his face on. He's got the Bill Clinton face. I love you all.
Yeah, right.
I love you. No, Bill, you don't love us.
Yeah, right. Love us to death. We're having to hope and change all that.
Here's what he says. Quote, "To meet our growing energy needs and prevent the worst consequences of climate change, we'll need to increase our supply of nuclear power. It's that simple," unquote. From Dr. Patrick Moore, co-founder of and former leader of Greenpeace, quote, "Nuclear power is affordable and clean and must be a part of New York's energy mix," unquote. And this is part, and then a New York Times editorial, quote, "Nuclear power, which generates far more greenhouse gases than ordinary fossil fuels, should be part of the energy mix in this country and moves towards less carbon intensive world," and the New York Times. So we got the New York Times official. We got Patrick Moore, now official. He's been brought in. You know leaders of the environmental movement are compromised and brought in suddenly.
Yeah, yeah. Well, though he was he was a leader way back when, and then disappeared. Yeah.
And remember the John Kerry tearing up his ID. And
John Kerry.
He actually had a moment in his, think it was 23 seconds in his life where he was actually against war. Yeah. Now he just beats the drums for war.
Well, he had a spinoctomy, I think, that is. Fine removed, but John Kerry did it.
And he still stands up straight.
sort of.
So this is the pushback. The nuclear energy is right for our community. This is being nailed everywhere. So
I love to see these things because this shows that they're worried.
I'll give it to you.
Thank you.
Oh, you bet they're worried.
I mean, they're really worried because this is an expensive piece. Of course, they don't care about money. But, this goes everywhere. This means, hey, boys, we are really on the brink of losing Indian Point here. And they are.
Well, that's what we're going to do. Tonight we start a unified worldwide effort,
right,
to bring people first the tools they need. You and Vandana Shiva and Carl Grossman.
I'm really honored to be on the panel with her and Greg Powis
and Carl Grossman.
Great people.
All these people are coming together.
So it's at the Ethical Culture Society.
Ethical Culture Society. And I will have
five.
One. Yeah, it starts. The film starts at 5. If people want to show up and see if there are empty seats, there's always going to be empty seats. People who have
You have done a really great job. It's almost sold out, which is really impressive.
Well, actually is sold out, but there'll be people who are no-shows.
And there are going to be scalpers out front.
No, there won't be scalpers, but we will have a will call table for people who want to show up and get a ticket at the last moment. Now,
well, I think it's a great accomplishment, Gary, that you've done this film. I've seen it. It's a fantastic. It's the most comprehensive and most compelling film in all the years that I've been in on nuclear power. I am in it, but aside from that, I think it's really a great piece of work, and you'd be congratulated and honored for having done it. And I think it'll have an impact. I mean, how can people not sit through this thing and
the key is
come out
we need
staggering?
People to watch it. Once people watch it, I trust in people's innate capacity to use intuition and common wisdom and logic to say, okay, I now know the truth. I didn't know the truth before. I was listening to my official left. And by the way, the Democrats are as much on board for pro-nuclear as the Republicans.
Well, they're more dangerous in many ways.
All right?
Yeah.
Well, and because they do it with a smile, and I'm doing it for you. All right, that's what they say. They're always doing it for us.
Right.
So now people will know the truth. Then there are organizations that we put people in touch with who are taking the fight forward. I'm going to ask starting tomorrow, and I'll give the information tomorrow, to call the governor. Tomorrow's going to be, not today.
This is Governor Cuomo in New York.
Governor Cuomo. call the governor and say, please close down Indian Point and have a commission. Have hearings. We will bring you the experts. We will bring you all the documentation to show you everything about the company running this and its background. We will show you what's wrong with the stories you right. have been led to believe about its safety. And finally, Harvey, my biggest concern is that we were recently given a wake-up call with both a hurricane and an earthquake
That's right.
in the same week.
And a flood. You know, we had two reactors that were flooded in Nebraska.
And one in Virginia that moved.
That's
moved.
Correct.
They
moved.
Said it was not possible to move it, the generator, it moved.
Right.
and it moved.
And the earthquake in Virginia has really set the NRC on its head because it exceeded the design capacity. And they've had to...
Twice.
And they've had to concede that that happened. And this is a big deal.
So it shows that their infallible arguments are extremely fallible. Here's my biggest concern. I believe that the science is irrefutable that we will be hit with some solar storms in the next 12 to 16 months, thereabout. I believe that these are cyclic and it's been through a resting period. Now it goes through its active period. Now that this is going to happen and these plasma bursts of magnetic energy come towards the Earth, because we have this gigantic hole in our magnetic shield that NASA found and flew five satellites through and measured it. It's five times wider than the planet Earth. It will not heal in this period of time. That once that solar electromagnetic storm hits, you won't see it, you won't feel it unless you're at the poles, but boy, it will fry all electricity.
That's going to be wild.
And it's going to fry these 100-ton gigantic stations and substations, at which we have thousands, and any time you see those gigantic wires going up from those gigantic cables, that's your substation, and then your major stations. That's also what's going to happen at the nuclear facility. You'll then go to a backup generator based upon what's fueling the generator, whether it's gasoline or whether it's diesel, but that will only last you upwards of about 5 days because there's no place to get any backup fuel because all gas pumps and diesel pumps will be off because those require electricity for the right. pump to work. That means then within 59 hours maximum, the water is no longer cooled, the water is no longer coming in, the water dissipates out, and you will have a Fukushima. You can have a nuclear explosion at that plant. You will not know it. You won't hear it. You won't see it.
Well, it'll be a melt.
It'll be a melt, but it'll be in the air. At 12 miles an hour winds, everyone within the tri-state area, downwind of it, will be impacted. Now, depending upon what is in the mix of chemicals coming out, if it's plutonium and if it's a major, major leak, major burst, at 12 miles an hour within 3 hours, you have no place to go at that point.
Well, you've put the finger on one of the most amazing... diseases of nuclear power, which is that when you shut down a nuclear plant, you haven't shut it down. It requires outside power, not only to keep the core cool, even if the plant's shut down, but also to expand fuel pools. And this is one of the things that we saw at Fukushima. When those auxiliary power stations that they had either were flooded or you know shot their wad in 4 or 8 hours, there's nothing left to keep the water circulating. And so if this solar storm hits and knocks out the auxiliary power at the nuclear plants here and across, there are about 450 around the world, who knows what's going to happen to the spent fuel pools. If they can't sustain their ongoing cooling, we are going to have so many multiple meltdowns around. We have 60,000 tons of spent fuel in the United States alone, which is only a quarter of the world's nuclear plants. This is an apocalyptic.
But you see, normally if you have a storm, they're still cleaning up basements and now loaded with mold over New Jersey and in Vermont and other places because right. of the storm that was 3 weeks ago. You don't clean up nuclear contamination, all right?
No way to do it.
When it's there, it's there forever. The worst-case scenario, we right now have a completely decrepit electrical power grid in the United States. Remember 3 weeks ago, one guy made one mistake in Arizona, and it blacked out much of California?
Sure.
All right?
It happens all the time.
And now they don't want to put the money into the surge protectors, which are about the size of a refrigerator, go anywhere from $55,000 to $75,000. you would need about 10,000 of them. We're not talking about a lot of money. They don't want to put it in. The House of Representatives passed unanimously without a single dissenting vote when it heard about this that we should do something about it. There's no political will now to make this a priority,
right?
Even though the science, the actual science, says it's going to happen.
And let's point out that, you know, our advocacy over the years, over the decades that we've been fighting nuclear power, you've been doing it as long as I have, is to shift the whole system so that we don't need a grid.
That's correct.
So that we have solar power, as you have on your house, and that everybody has their own generating facility. We won't need to worry about this. You have panels, you have a windmill, you have biofuels, you have what you need, you have batteries that work, and we don't have to worry about a grid that's going to be affected by a solar storm because everybody's independent. And this is the last thing, of course, this corporate structure wants to do.
They're not going to do
it. And that's why they fight us. It's a solartopian vision that would put them out of business, and they can't stand for it.
They'll use every lie. They'll hire every scientist or public advocate to be on their side. But at the end of the day, my concern is that first we have to get those grids protected. We still have time to do it. But once this happens, it's unlike going out and rehooking up a power line. You can't have anything in your power to redo a grid. A grid is 100 tons.
Right.
It's made in China.
Right.
And there's a 3-year waiting list. So you're going to have no television, no internet, no cell phones. You'll have no newspapers. You'll have nothing. You won't have an elevator. You won't have water out of your tap. You won't be able to flush a toilet. Where's the water going to come from that's going to keep you hydrated? Where's the food going to come from? That'll all be gone in a few days. Then you have 20 million people living in this area who are going to be in desperation. When will this get fixed? But how do you fix it when the tools you need to fix it, you can't get? You can't communicate from one part of the world to another. You can't communicate one part of the city to another. So this is how bad it could get. The worst case scenario at the bottom end of a catastrophe is New York City and all the surrounding areas and all the homes become uninhabitable forever. If that radiation...
Oh, well, the radiation is what will kill us. I mean, you know, all the other stuff, not being communicating, being able to communicate, all the other things, we can deal with that. What we can't deal with
is the radiation.
An atmosphere filled with plutonium.
That's
and,
correct.
Of course, as Linus Pauling and others pointed out, you know, we evolved, the planet of Earth evolved or allowed evolution when we developed a cosmic shield, the ozone layer that, lowered the levels of radiation on the planet. With nuclear power, what we're doing is raising the levels of radiation on the planet back to a point where human life cannot survive. And that's what the test is with nuclear power. Is this a suicide pill, essentially, for our species.
It is.
And until we get rid of it and we bring in the solartopian technologies that can sustain our planet without this craziness, you know, we don't have a future.
The trouble is those of us who are aware of how serious this could be, and I don't look at anything as a catastrophe. I look at it on a scale, a curve. The bottom of the curve is, yes, the solar storm is coming, but we're wise enough to put grid protectors so that there's just minimal electrical outage. No problem. 1, 2, 3, 4 days, we're back. All right?
Mm-hmm.
We've suffered a little bit, but nothing major. But then let's go up on that scale. We don't have the political will or the economic insight to do it and think that the grid will hold, that it won't be that bad, but it is bad.
Right. It's real bad.
And then you start this whole... You start this whole turning what didn't have to happen into a full. It's like the person that doesn't get the infection taken care of, and now you've got amputation. It's all on a spectrum. So I'm saying that we do not have the real progressives in any position of power anywhere in the government to insist to Obama or others, this is suicidal.
Right.
Stop it. Can you just put the money back in someone's pocket? For a moment that they put in yours, stop and just be a human being. And the president won't do it. His advisor don't do it. The Congress won't do it, with few exceptions. There are a few exceptions that would. So we have to start demonstrating. We have to demand. And that's why it starts tonight with education. It's all about education tonight. You, Vandana Shiva, Carl Grossman, Greg Palast, and others from Japan. It's educate the public and give them the tools they need to show them the truth. The truth is, first, we deconstruct that nuclear is safe, clean, efficient, and then we show the danger of it, then we start getting them to say, okay, get rid of the nuclear and support what we have, and we'll tell you the truth about it too. They'll tell you, oh, to go nuclear or to go green, you're going to have to wait 35 to 40 years.
You know,
but that's what they'll say.
Yeah, I know that. We've had, the Solartopian vision is a vision also, you know, a green powered Earth, which is post-corporate. And this, you know, when you say we don't have the political will, the reason we don't have the political will in the government is because corporations are viewed as people under the law, and corporate so-called contributions, which are really bribes, are what defines our current state of government. And the number one thing, the real disease, the cancer that's killing our body politic, is the fact that corporations have become the most powerful institution in human history. The simple mechanism of a corporation that's protected from bankruptcy and that is not held accountable. Corporations have human rights, but no human responsibilities, and they're allowed to buy governments and are not held. And the governments are then not held accountable. That is the result. That is the definition of the lack of political will, and that's what really is the core problem that we have to change.
I agree. I think that what we should do henceforth in this new coming election is that we should suspend all debate. I believe we should have no debate and no dialogue. I believe that all those people, including Obama on one side, and all the Republicans on the other, and all their cheerleaders and their voices, we should put up a bid. And
right.
You should have, you know, like
an auction.
An auction. And whoever wins, that's their person.
Yeah, right.
And if it's $1 billion, $2 billion, $10 billion, then they can smile.
Well, right. We have a system of $1, one vote, basically. That's how it goes in this country now. And this is the core problem. The structure of the corporation, even if a corporation wanted to, or the leaders of a corporation wanted to do the right thing, it is illegal for a corporation to do anything but make the maximum amount of money. If they have a choice between killing you or healing you, that's irrelevant. The question is which will make more profit. And this goes this goes to nuclear power, this goes to medicine, this goes to AIDS, this goes to cancer. Every definition in our society of what happens through the corporations and the government is based on what will make them more money. And that's the legal system. That's what we have to change.
Harvey, thank you very much for coming in.
Oh, it's a pleasure, an honor to be with you, Gary.
Harvey Wasserman, award-winning journalist, dropped by. He will be there tonight. You will see him in the film starting at 5 o'clock tonight on The Devil's Door. You will see him over the computer wherever you're at in the world. At the long discussion we're going to have, where he'll have a chance to go into greater depth as well as the others. I'm Gary Knoll. Thank you all for watching. Look forward to sharing more tomorrow.